Thank you for your grace and your peace, which passes understanding. May we experience that as we open your word today, in Jesus' name, amen. I am guilty, and so are you. More than I like to admit, I've done this when I read the Bible, and you probably have too. Have you ever come to one of those long lists of names and quickly read over it? Maybe you've done as I've done sometimes. You kind of read every other name just to get through it. Or am I the only one? Have you ever come across those long lists of names and scratched your head and said, why is this here? And just kind of maybe even skipped the whole chapter that talked about all those people you can't even, names you can't even pronounce. And by the way, Debbie, you did a great job reading all those names this morning. There is a quite famous sermon that was done by a man by the name of Fred Craddock. He's written a book on preaching. He's had an impact on a lot of preachers. And it's from the last part of Romans chapter 16. If you thought there were a lot of names at the end of Colossians, Romans 16 has many, many more. And the title of it is, It's Not Just a List. And so I've kind of stolen that concept from his sermon, I admit it. What he basically said in that sermon was, when you're reading through that list of names, to Paul, it wasn't just a list. It was about people whose lives the gospel had impacted. It was about people whose lives had touched Paul and whose life Paul had touched. It wasn't just a list. And we're going to look at this brief list this morning, and I knew that we had a lot in the sermon, and I knew that what I could say in a few minutes and still be a good sermon. At least I think it can be. I want you to open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 4. Now, as you're looking for Colossians chapter 4, just give me your ear while you're looking. The book of Colossians, we've discovered as we studied throughout from week to week that Colossians is a book about the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. That Christ is God himself. Christ is fully God and fully man. That he is the creator and sustainer of the universe, and yet he is a personal God who knows us and loves us and keeps us. We read about the fact that Paul's desire was that we might become mature and grow in him, and that maturity will be seen in our behavior, and it will be seen in how we treat our family and friends, as Pastor Jana talked about last week. And then, after talking about our behavior and how we treat others, Paul says in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. If we're not thankful in our prayers, we've missed what prayer is all about. I would like to point out that Paul begins by saying, pray for us too. And you might think that he would be praying, pray for us that I can get out of this place. He's writing from prison. Pray for us that God will deliver me and give me freedom so I can once again go out and preach. No, he doesn't say that. He says, pray for us too that God may open a door, not of the prison, but a door for the message so that we may proclaim this mystery of Christ and his sufficiency and his supremacy we've already talked about, for which I am in chains. Pray that it can open a door to proclaim the message. As Louis Giglio talked about in his video on how great is our God, too often our prayers are relegated to informing God, advising God, begging God, boring God. He didn't say that, I did. The point is this. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Why? So that you may realize the power of God at work in your life in behalf of others. Pray that I may proclaim the gospel as clearly as I should. And then he goes on to say, since I'm talking about this proclaiming bit, be wise as you act. How you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. What opportunity? The opportunity to share the gospel with others. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. What Paul is saying here as he's winding down this letter, he's saying, listen, it's not all about you and what happens in your life. It's about how your life connects with those around you. It's not just all about you and what God is doing to bless you. It's about how God is using you to bless others. It's not all about you and what you think God should do for you. It's about you and what God wants you to do to share his love with someone else. This whole matter of prayer that Paul ends with is a matter about putting ourselves in the place where prayer is a primary aspect of our lives and not just something we do just as we roll out of bed in the morning briefly and just before we go to bed at night perhaps. Faith shapes and forms everything we do in our Christian experience. It's interesting that Paul writes about prayer right after talking about how we deal with our husbands and wives and children and those we work with, because he says if you're going to be dealing with those people all the time, work with them in such a way that you will season their lives with salt. You'll give them a desire to hear the gospel, a desire to hear who I am and what I've done. And after talking about this matter of prayer and being open for God to use you in your daily interactions with those around you, family, friends, business associations, whoever you may encounter, he goes on to list some people who are with him. And this is where it's not just a list. I want you to just refer with you to some of the different people that are mentioned here. He mentions a group of Asians who don't have a Jewish background. He mentions some Jews. He mentions some people who have Latin names. He mentions someone by the name of Nymphas. Now, the interesting thing about this name is that some older manuscripts say it's Nymphas, which is masculine, and some say it's Nympha, which is feminine, and some say it's in her house, and some say it's his house, and we don't know what it is. It could be either one. So whether or not it's a male or a female here is irrelevant. There was a church that met in her house there in Colossae. Now, as you go through this list, starting out with the first one, Tychicus, it's interesting who Tychicus was. This was a powerful person. This was a brave person. Tychicus went with Paul to Troas when the Jews made a threat against Paul's life, and the threat was against his too. Paul carried a letter by Paul to the Ephesians. Tychicus visited Paul in jail. If you think about it, Paul's in jail because he's considered to be someone who is at danger to the Roman society, and so he goes to visit him. He would be suspect too. He goes anyway. Tychicus is Paul's trusted envoy. He's someone Paul could count on, and Paul wants to acknowledge him. He talks about Onesimus, and the book of Philemon is about his whole story about being a runaway slave and how he come to know Christ because he was in prison with Paul. And so he's thankful for a runaway slave who ministers and who's helpful to him. He talks about Aristarchus, who was with Paul at Ephesus when a riot broke out. He was arrested along with Paul there, and he accompanied Paul on the ship en route to Rome. Think about it. He went to Rome on a ship with prisoners just to be with Paul so that Paul wouldn't be by himself, recognizing that he might be arrested even before he got off ship. That took bravery, didn't it? He talked about Mark. You remember what happened with Mark in the book of Acts in the first missionary journey? Mark gets a little homesick, gets a little scared, and decides to leave the mission trip and go home. And the next time Paul went on a mission trip, Mark wanted to go, and Paul says, "Nah, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, no way. I'm not giving you another chance." And he and Barnabas split up because of that. But apparently they've come back together, and they've mended the broken fences that, yes, even the Apostle Paul had problems dealing with, a relationship with someone else. And he reminds them about Mark and what he has done, how Mark is there to help. And Paul endorses him as if to say, "You can count on Mark now, I do." Talks about Epaphras, the leader of the church of Colossae, who understood and preached Paul's message of the gospel. What a warm feeling that must have been to know that the message he'd been given to people, that people had questioned over and over again, was accepted by someone who gave it to someone else. Talked about Demas. The interesting thing is that Paul doesn't really praise him, he just mentions him. And there's a man by the name of Demas, we find out, that later forsakes the gospel, according, I think it is, to Thessalonians or Timothy, one of those two. He talks about Luke, his beloved physician, who gave up a career to be a devoted follower of Paul and to minister to Paul wherever he went. And once again, he talked about Nymphas and or Nympha and the fact that there was a church in their home. If you think about it, in reality, shouldn't every one of our homes be a church because we're the body of Christ? And then he ends the letter with the words, "Grace be with you." He ended every letter with those words. Always commending others to the grace which he himself had found sufficient for all things. You see, what Paul's really saying is, when it comes to this business of being Christians, we are never alone. When it comes to living the Christian life, God says, you're never alone. When it comes to sharing the good news and being part of a church family, we're not lone rangers in the business of being Christians. We are never alone. We have the fellowship of people who love and care and support us. If you were writing a letter to a friend who did not live in Corona, what would you tell them about some of the people in your church who have touched your lives and made a difference? Who would some of the people be that you would say, this is someone who stood by me in a tough time when I was very, very sick? Who would some of the people be who said, listen, this is someone who was with me when I doubted that God was there for me? Who would you say that this is someone who taught me what it means to trust God and to believe that God loves me and God cares for me? Who would some of those people in this congregation be if you were to write that letter? I challenge you, think about that. Sit down and write down the names, your names, that would not just be a list, but would be people who let you know you are never alone. And then give them a call or a phone call or a card and thank them that they are part of the body of Christ who has ministered to you and through whom you've seen the love of Jesus Christ. We read this last part of the letter of Colossae and those like it, and we skip over it thinking, well, those are just some names and it's something that happened to Paul and that's okay. Maybe we need to stop and say, God, who are the people that never have left me? You've given me people in my life. I am never alone because they pray for me, they pray with me, they minister to me, and we can minister side by side. I hesitate to mention names this morning because if I did, I know I'd leave so many people out. But as I look across this congregation this morning, thank you. Boy, that was a surprise. Thank you, I'm never alone. I know you pray for me. It means a great deal. We need to learn what it means that we're never alone as we journey in the kingdom of God. May God's grace and God's peace and his love and his fellowship be with us as the Corona Church family learns that we are never alone. Let's pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you grace and peace.